Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 1 says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Let's pray. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, tonight, Lord, ask you to open our hearts and minds to your word. Lord, give us discernment. Lord, work in our lives where we need it. Lord, you know more than anyone what we need in our lives. Speak to us, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Where are we heading as a church? That's the question. Where are we heading as a church? Since it's 2023 now, and I never thought I'd live this long. May die tonight, I don't know, but it'd be good for me, but I don't know about for you. Where's my wife at? Hey, what you doing in the back? Backseat Baptist. I don't know about women anymore. Anyhow, where are we heading as a church? That's an important thing in our lives. We need to know where we're heading. Now, Sandy and I, even though she's in the back, we've been here at Wagon Wheel going on 10 years. June actually will be 10 years. That's a long time. We came here on faith, by the way. That's why we came. We came on faith. Lord brought us here. The Bible says, by the way, that we walk by faith, not by sight, or we're supposed to. Amen? Amen. I believe we've tried to do that. I really do. And God has never, never, never let us down. Since we said, yeah, we'll come here, He's never let us down. Amen. Now, we've seen a lot come and go. There's been trials, been some tribulations, been a plandemic. Issues. And that's true. Been a lot of issues. But no matter what goes on, whether it be in Henderson, whether it be in the state of Nevada, whether it be in the entire world, no matter what is going on, we have got no other way to look at it. Keep living by faith. Amen. We have got to live by faith because, listen, we don't always see the whole picture. Right. Now, some of us, you're going to have to come up here. You're bugging me back there. All this is recorded. That's the best part about it. It's funny. It just irritates me. Where was I at? Some of us have seen the big picture, okay? Not all of it. We really haven't. Not all of us have seen the big picture. And I hadn't seen all of it because I've only lived till, what's the day? 15th? I've only lived till the 15th of 2023. But I get into some strange stuff, as they call it. Some people call it conspiracy. But it seems to be coming true. So I'm gonna give you a word of advice. Don't write that stuff off. And I just watched the show the other night and I knew about some of it. But it's a very interesting show. Very interesting, I should say, documentary. It's called Belly of the Beast. I watched that. It makes a lot of sense. It also makes a lot of sense what's been going on. It brings a lot of picture together. The United States, Bless his heart, there was a guy I talked to yesterday that's all fired up and wants everything to get better and wants the world to be a better place. But I might have popped his bubble. But I told him, I said, dude, it ain't going to get no better. It's going to get worse. The world is going to get worse. Look, I've read the end of the book. It is going to get worse. And it's got to go that way. Now, we may not can stop it, but I do believe we can kind of slow it down. You know, certain ways. Well, I believe when Trump come in office, he slowed a lot of things down, which is why it made a lot of people mad. But when we see that whole picture, and I've been enlightened somewhat through some things, and I've prayed about it, and I really feel a lot of it's going that direction, and a bunch of the stuff I've been hearing, now some of it is like, yeah, take it with a grain of salt, brush it on off, sweep it out the door, but the majority, I'll be honest with you, is not good. And I really feel bad for these little guys, my grandkids. I feel bad for what they've got to come up in until the Lord comes home and takes us out of here, which, hey, that might be tonight, amen. But again, it may not be for another 50 years. I ain't sure how long it can go like it's going. But nonetheless, but it all boils down to we got to walk by faith, not by sight.
Amen.
No matter how bad it gets, we have to walk by faith, not by sight. That's what the Lord's told us to do. So, one of the marks of the church at Thessalonica was, in verse 3, their work of faith. One of their marks was their works of faith. When you go to Acts 17... Go over to, with me to hang on to Thessalonica. Go over to Acts 17. That's really where it all started with Thessalonica. Acts 17, chapter 17, verse 1. It said, "Now when they had passed through Philippi, and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews." And Paul, as his manner was, went in and stirred up trouble. Because that's what he did. That one little phrase right there is what I want us to look at. That really jumped out at me. And Paul, as his manner was. You see, that's important in our lives, in our character. That little phrase stands out. As his manner was. Paul was known to first, when no matter where he went, he walked into the synagogue. He walked to them and started preaching to those guys. That's his manner. Now, I'm going to brag on you guys a little bit. I thank God that here at Wagon Wheel that we have men and women who will be here when the doors open at church. They are faithful. Matter of fact, most of you is here tonight. It's your mannerism to be. That's an important thing for us. That people can see that. It's your mannerism that you're here. Even if I make you mad, you show right back up. And don't say I ain't made you mad, because I know I have. Especially when I step on toes, and I like stepping on toes. That means it's getting somewhere. But nonetheless, I got to hand it to the majority of people at Wagon Wheel. They are here. There's some that ain't here tonight that on the norm, they're here. Now, I worry about folk like that when they don't show up, because it's like, something wrong. But nonetheless, I have to brag on you guys, because that's your mannerism. That's what you know to do. You know Sunday morning, your children know Sunday morning, we're going to church. It ain't, hey, Mom, Dad, we're going to church. No, they already know. You got Stella gets up every day of the week. We're going to church? Because bless her heart, she's here just about every day of the week. Well, pretty much is. She's done decided, well, we get up in the morning, we go to church. That's a good thing. You know, that's a good thing to have. Now, we've seen great things, honestly, happen here. And to be honest with you, we plan on much more. Amen? We need to be. We need to be planning on much more. But now, here's some things that we've got to go over. To see much more, we've got to do three things. We've got to continue in our, honestly, walking by faith, not by sight. We've got to continue in that. If we start walking by sight, we're going to get in trouble because it don't always add up. Don't always look right. But we've got to have a work of faith. It's not enough to just sit around and say, well, I have faith that the Lord is going to do great things here at Wagon Wheel. He is. He's going to do great things here at Wagon Wheel. The problem is, W-O-R-K, of faith. Work of faith. Listen, King David, before he became king, shows up at the battle. Here Goliath is. What's he do? Chose five stones. It's a work of faith. Listen, he said, I need five stones because he's got four brothers. and I'm going to kill him. Listen, you're going to take on the other four brothers. He didn't choose five stones because, well, I might miss the first round. Listen, he didn't have but a one-chance deal. This dude's right at 10 foot tall. I'd say he could cover some ground. I've walked alongside tall people. It's a pain. You got people like Dave. Bless his heart, he can't help it. His dad kicked him in the hind end too much. And he's, what, 6'4"? You got Elmo, he's right in there. You know, and then you got me. On a good day, I'm 5'11". That's if I'm holding up straight. And sometimes I'm tired. So that's, and you get bigger heels. You know, that'd make you hip. And I'm walking with them, and I'm kind of slow anyway. They used to call me two-speed in the oil fields. Yeah. I was in this gear and this gear. You know, I had this gear, and then I had this gear. Listen, there ain't no need to get in a hurry. You get hurt getting in a hurry. Now, if something went wrong, I had another gear. And I've used it on more than one occasion. Pew! And they're like, whoa, I didn't know you had that much energy. but I'm walking along outside with Elmo or with Dave, and I'm making six steps of their one and a half. You know, so you know that Goliath was covering some ground. He wasn't standing there waiting. He was approaching him. David was moving, doing this. And God's hand goes, well, he might have just went, nailed that dude. He falls down and I don't believe he sawed his head off. He didn't use Pakistanian steel. He had that good Damascus. Just right off. Blood in the gut streaming out of there, and he brought it up to Osal and said, here, try that out for size. I mean, he probably had a head like that. You know? All that mess hanging out of there. Can you guys think of that? Spaghetti hanging out of that neck. That's nasty, ain't it? They might get sick. I better hush. Listen, but he didn't say, well, let's kill Goliath. No, he picked up five stones and had intentions that just as soon as I kill him, I'm going to get the other four too. He probably reloaded after he chopped the head off. He probably said, whoop. You know, they chickened out. You know, you got Abraham. No. Yeah, you got Abraham. Lord says, hey, take Isaac, your only son, the one I promised you, take him up down the hill, kill him, sacrifice him. Okay. No, he got busy and he went and done it. Got him on the altar, pulled the knife back, and all of a sudden the angel says, "Whoa, stop. That's enough." You know, well, then you got Noah.
Noah, you found grace in the eyes of me.
Noah, build an ark. A what?
That's what I'd have said.
Come again. Build an ark. I'm going to give you the blueprint for it. Good thing, because I don't know what an ark is. But he built it. He didn't just sit down and say, "Well, we, you know, we got 120 years." He didn't know that. He had to get the thing built because the Lord said, "I am going to destroy everything that you see except for what's on that ark." And he got busy building an ark. It's called a work of faith. You see, James says, what is it, chapter 1 maybe? Verse 14, someone there, he says, you say you got faith and there ain't no works. Well, I'll show you my faith by my works. See, that's what they were doing. Abraham was not saved because he worked. He worked because he was saved. He knew it was going to happen. Noah worked because he knew it was going to happen. He trusted already. Abraham, we have no idea what Abraham was doing. Abraham was living it up in the little place he lived. They had a library. It was pretty fancy. You know, we think of those times as they're walking around with clubs and they're, listen, they were smart folk. It ain't what little school books and junk they teach you. They call them, what they call them? Neanderthals. They wasn't a bunch of nuts that didn't listen. They knew. They had all sorts of stuff. Abraham lived in a pretty fancy place. And I don't know how God showed up to him, but God says, "Hey, Abraham, yo." You know, I ain't sure what he thought. He said, "Follow me. I'm going to give you a land." Okay. Listen. He had faith in God, but he didn't just sit there. He got up and moved.
Amen.
Now, that's what they were doing at Thessalonica. They were doing things. They were serving the Lord. And my pages have done turned. They were serving the Lord, a work of faith. He said, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. We have got to continue. It doesn't matter what's going on. We've got to continue to work and to fill this place up. Oh, Pastor, I like small churches. I'll respect that some, but God don't. It ain't about our likes.
Amen. Amen.
It's what God wants. God wants us to have 35 people. Well, we had 42 people this morning. God wants us to have 42 people. We will. If He wants us to have 600, that's what we'll have. But nonetheless, to ever get any of it, we've got to work for it. We've got to have a work of faith. That's what we've got to do. You see, it's all about telling people about our church. Wagon wheel. We got to be telling, but what do you got? You got this sticker on your shirt. Follow me to wagon wheel. If you don't have it on your car, you ought to have it on there. I got some right here. Put a sticker on it. Follow me to wagon wheel. Oh, what about wagon wheel? Well, we got this crazy guy that preaches. And we got some other goofy folk in there. We just got normal people. They come to church. The average everyday folk that come to church. That's what we've got here. We have a good time. We like to eat. Amen. We sing a little different sometimes. Yeah, a little different. Not a lot different. But a little different. Sometimes we sing a lot different. We don't sing seven words and say them 50 times over and over. You know, but nonetheless, we do juice it up a little, as I call it. But it's about telling people about what's going on. It's about going out and... That ain't nobody home. We went out Saturday. course, we were pushing our luck because it was going to rain. But, you know, it didn't even start raining until 3 or so. It's supposed to start raining at 1. But we go out, 4 of us, go out knocking on some doors. And I had one lady, she's looking out the window at us, her and her dog. And I said, held up one of the tracks. She went, I'm like, okay, whatever. I waved at her. We went to, knocked on one door, and I'm like, oh, good, they got a big dog. She eases the door open, hey, and this thing got a head like that. And in their window, it says, stop. Get right with Jesus. Because if you come in my house uninvited, you're going to meet him. And I told her, I said, oh, I like your son. She said, yeah, we really don't need it. We got this. I'm like, yeah, it's true. But I got a feeling you may be meeting him short a few limbs. But, you know, she said, hey, she said, I'll take what you got. And I said, well, yeah. She said, thank you. She said, we go to church. And I said, well, good. I met 2 or 3 other people who went to church. But we didn't talk to a lot of people. But guess what happened this morning? Anybody want to take a wild guess what happened this morning at church? Ah, there's the key. We had visitors. I didn't visit a one of them. Neither did Jose. Neither did Will, and neither did Jeff. We didn't see any of those people on visitation. But you know what the Lord says? He says if we'll go out and visit or attempt, He'll bless our efforts. I got to give Him the glory for folks showing up. It was like, oh, cool. Plus, we had some people come back that came last week and was like, amen, you know. Listen, it's about telling people the gospel. If you get the opportunity, you tell them about the gospel. Amen. It's about seeing souls saved. You see, we need to see some souls saved. We really do. We're in the end times. People need to come around to the realistic situation that it's coming to an end, a screeching halt.
Amen.
And before it gets there, we may end up doing some suffering. Yes. I don't want to suffer not knowing Jesus. That's why it's a good thing I know Jesus. Amen? Yes. We call it the Great Commission, Matthew 28:18-20. Now, I will say this. Since the great pandemic took place, and that's exactly what it was, the biggest fraud ever brought on the American people. Made them look like fools. Really, the whole world. I got to hand it to them. They impressed me. They done a good job. But they didn't fool me. You know, when it all first took off, I'm like, wait a minute. Because they announced it. I was watching Fox News, and they said, there's going to be Fauci, that little moron, going to be, what, I think he said like 800,000 people die before Easter. I'm like, what? I asked her, I said, did I hear that right? And he lost his mind. I said, but you know what? I said, all right, here we go. I figured up the days, and I said, now, within a couple of days, honey, if you don't see people dropping like flies, I said, somebody is yanking somebody's chain.
Yeah.
I drove over to Smith's, a few blocks from my house. I didn't see one dead person laying on the sidewalk. Walked in the store, people walking around in there, nobody dead. And I went home and I'm like, somebody's lying. I said, I don't know what their plan is, but somebody lied. And it was a joke. But I'm going to tell you what happened. It wasn't them because they ain't smart enough to pull it off. We don't have anybody that smart, and we do not have anybody that powerful to pull off what happened. Principalities of the air. The devil. The devil got it done. The devil got the world shut down. He got churches shut down.
Yep.
And it caused nothing but problems. Have you noticed I ain't been Facebooking? I'm going to tell you why. I got people that wouldn't come because they watch it on Facebook. Because that way they can sit in their pajamas and drink their coffee and do what they want. Listen, if you want to come to church and sit in your pajamas and drink your coffee, I might just let you. But you ought to be here. We've had a few in their pajamas. But anyway, it amazed me, but I won't go there. I believe, though, because of the pandemic, that we've gotten complacent. And what that means is pleased, especially with ourselves and with our situation. Folks, that ain't good. God ain't pleased with that. He's not. He's not pleased with it at all. And that brings me to my next point. Labor of love. You see, 1 Thessalonians, it says in verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. You see, it's a labor of love. A labor of love is a sustainable labor. It will be there. The Lord will bless it. We've got to love. In other words, we must labor in love, not because it's a necessity. Not because, well, I've read the Bible and God says we've got to go out and do this, so I got to go do this. No, it ought to be out of love. We ought to want to go do it. Now, I mentioned the other day, I said, hey, four of us, we're going to go out knocking on doors, handing out tracts. Oh, we went to the parking lot to a Smith's. Now, I'll be up front with you. My foot started hurting me about halfway through all the walking because I've got this issue that I should have just kept the other issue I had. But anyway, and I told Will, I said, I'm going to set it out. They covered the parking lot, went through talking to people, sticking it on cars. They got some weird looks. Listen, they go out and put cards on there that says, come to us and get your windshield tinted. Well, that's how I found out about getting my windshield tinted. The guy, because it was stuck on my truck. I'm like, you know, I needed that. And so we went out and gave them some tracks. I don't know that one day when I get to heaven, somebody might be up there that says, you know, I read this tract from your church. And I got saved. May be that way. But we got to do it out of love. Not out of necessity, but out of love. The love that Christ has for us. Now, go over to Revelation chapter 2. Because that brings up something else. Revelation chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Sounds good. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not. And thou hast found them liars. They found them teaching heresies. It's good. And hast borne and hast patience, endurance. For my name's sake hast thou labored, and hast not fainted. In other words, you've been steady at it, you've been laboring. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. So that ain't good. We get too calloused. We get tired. Well, we got this going on, we got this going on, we got this going on. We start losing our love. He says in verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent. And do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Listen, we don't ever want to get to that point. We might get a little cold, might get a little calloused, But we don't want to totally lose that first love. We want to get that fired back up again. We need to rekindle the fire and get the love of Christ again. Because if we don't, He'll pull the candlestick. That ain't good. That ain't a harmonious outcome. You see, we don't ever want to do that. We've seen those that want to, you know, you see those that want to go out and they want to knock on doors and say, look at me, I went out visiting. It ain't about me going out visiting. It's about people getting the Word.
Amen.
I don't give a rip how many people you've led to the Lord. There used to be a plaque hanging up here when I first got here. So-and-so won this meeting of the Lord, and so-and-so won that meeting of the Lord, and so-and-so. I get what the point was. But it's like a competition. It ain't a competition. It's about a love for lost souls that people, we ought to be willing to say, hey, do you know Jesus? Let me tell you what He done for me and lead them to the Lord and then get them into church. Don't come tell me, oh, I won six to the Lord last week. Okay. You want a ribbon? You know, the Lord might give you a ribbon one day, but it ain't my job. My job is to tell you to be a witness to people, and if you get a chance, lead them to the Lord. Let me know. Say, hey, I won this person to the Lord, and I'm going to talk them into coming to church, and they need discipleship. But the bragging, I have run across way too many people that want to brag about what they're doing, but I've noticed they ain't here no more, and I noticed they ain't running around. And if they... If you go out and witness to somebody, and you lead them to the Lord, why ain't they in church? Because if they ain't coming to church, you drop the ball. It's in your court. You're the one that introduced them to Jesus. Start pushing the issue. Get them to church. Don't just leave them hanging and say, well, just, you need to find you a good church to go to and go get in one. Listen, two men were here tonight. Nicest guys in the world you ever want to meet. One sat in my office every Wednesday for weeks and weeks and weeks. But they're Mormons. And the minute they find out they want to get into church, guess what they'll do? We'll help you. Even though they're honestly saved, we'll help you. And they'll get them into the Mormon church. And what are they going to do? They're never going to get anywhere. I kind of hushed one up. His brother. He said, well, we're not all that different, Mormons and Baptists. I said, well. He said, well, really, we're not. I mean, he said, we believe in Jesus. I said, well, I said, I believe in Jesus, who is God and who is the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Well, you look at him. I said, in other words, there's one God manifest in three persons. I said, there ain't a bunch of other gods out there manifest in three persons. There's one God and His Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, but they're all God. Amen. Well, he starts studying around. Well, we change the subject. But it's like, listen, and bless their heart, they're good people. But most of them ain't got a clue what they're in. They're deceived. You see, we need to be doing what we do, not for saying, look at me. Pastor, look at me. I'm going out and doing this. Pastor, I've done this. Pastor, I've handed out all these tracts. No, 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 no. We're doing it out of love because we'd like to see more people saved. And if we can get them in here, amen. And I'll be up front with you. If they truly get saved, they'll be here. You know, I've had a lot of folks, well, I've led this one to the Lord. I said, well, when's the last time he was at church? Well, they don't go to church. You probably ought to go back and lead them to the Lord because they took a wrong turn somewhere. Because I'm going to be honest with you, when I got saved, I wanted to go to church. Now, it didn't take me long to start getting away from that. Had a lot of help. But I wanted to go to church. I wanted to get baptized. Nobody had to talk me into getting baptized. I wanted to get baptized because I was saved and I wanted to follow the Lord Jesus in baptism. And I said, hey, when can I get baptized? See, that's the first step of obedience. But nonetheless, that's what we need. We need to grasp the love of God for each other. That's why he said, love one another.
Amen.
We need to quit bickering. Not like that we do that here. Backbiting, we don't do that here. Gossiping, we don't do that here. Complaining, I know that ain't going on, but we got to make sure we don't. Just love one another. That's what we need to do. We just need to love one another. Listen, I don't like Larry, but I love him. He ain't here, I can pick on him. And that wife of his. You see that? She puts on that blue eyeshadow so it looks like he hit her. No, she fell down. He might have knocked her. No, I'm kidding. She did. She fell down coughing. We need to love one another. Be willing to say, hey, I'm sorry. I wasn't even 100% sure that I didn't even know I offended you. I'm sorry. You know, I've offended my wife on several occasions. I have. Some of them were on purpose. I have offended her and didn't even know it. And she let me know. You know, that was kind of offensive. I'm like, I'm sorry. And I am. I'm honestly sorry. I'll go ahead and tell you, outside of the preaching of the word, if I have offended you because I said something stupid, because a lot of times, well, more than a lot of times, I'll kick it into gear and go to running before the brain's really doing everything it needs to be. You know, it ain't analyzing it. I'm just saying it. And listen, it's not on purpose. I didn't mean to offend you. Not sometimes I just say things. That's just me. You know? Just every now and then I'll blurt something out, and in the back of my mind I'm like, oh, that wasn't good. But that's after it happened. It's too late. It done made it out like that toothpaste. Whoops, I didn't want that much. Well, you ain't putting it back. I tried that. It don't work. Matter of fact, it makes a bigger mess than what it was to start with. You know, and so when we do that, listen, just be willing to say, look, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. And we ought to be more mindful about what, I'm talking to myself. We need to be more mindful of what we're going to say. There's been a few times, well, I stopped myself this morning. I said, well, that's as worthless as, that wouldn't been appropriate. You know what I mean. In other words, what's the point? It ain't going to get nothing done. So we need to be mindful about what we're going to say. That's why Proverbs, and I've had trouble with this. Proverbs said, I'll paraphrase for you, think about it before you say it. Because you're going to look stupid once it comes out and you can't take it back. No, what's said is said. It's bloom. It's out there. It's recording. Ask forgiveness. All right, let me get off of that. We must keep our first love. Listen, love for Jesus, love for the lost, love. If we say we love Jesus, but we don't love one another and we don't love the lost, then we're lying about loving Jesus. That's your first love.
Yeah.
If I love Jesus, then I'm going to love the lost.
That's right.
I'm going to love one another, even Lori, even Jerry. You know, I'm gonna love them, even Freddie. What's that dude you look like? He's a movie star. Played on the Terminator.
Yeah.
He looks like that guy.
Oh.
Yeah, that's who he looks like. But you know what? I love Freddie. I'll back him up any day of the week. He might make me mad sometimes, but I'll still back him up. I love him. His wife has made me mad more than once, but I love her. I still like being around her. You know, Sister Brenda, bless her heart, she ain't done nothing yet. I'm giving her time. She's a southern woman, though, so she's... No offense to you northerners. And then you got them bald-headed guys from West Virginia that... I love him! Listen, if we say we love Jesus, but we don't have a love for them, and we don't... Listen, not one person yesterday cussed me out. They were, a couple of them, kind of rude. I'm not interested. It's like, well, pardon me. Now, I have been cussed out on visitation. Go with the guy. I threatened to throw him off the second floor. Not him, but if he'd open the door, if that's what I told Scott I was going to do, the guy that was with me and Sandy, I said, I'm going to throw him off. I said, he opens that door again, he's coming out. He said, brother, we're two floors up. I said, that's his problem. And I had what it took to do that back then. Now, I may not now. You know, I might go, as Larry says, your brain's writing checks, your body can't cash. And Scott says, well, yeah, but you've got to love him and witness to him. I said, if he's still alive when I get down there, I will. You know, I didn't like what he was saying. Made me angry. But you know what? I just got to overlook it. I learned real quick, being a Christian and going on visitation, soul winning, going out there talking to people, you can't wear your feelings out here because they're going to grab them. They'll pinch them, they'll stab them, they'll cut them, they'll do everything they can to upset you because that's what they want. You see, the devil wants to ruin your testimony. The whole time I'm standing there, Scott's patting my back. He's not going to open the door. I said, if he does, I was hoping he would, but I'm glad he didn't. You see, we've got to have that love because if we don't, that ending right there, verse 5, man, that's scary. I'll pull your candlestick. I'll pull the Holy Spirit out of here. You'll fold up. You ain't going to be nothing. No more power. He said, repent. So, yeah, we need to repent of that. There's a lot. Listen, if somebody tells me, well, I ain't got to repent of that, you probably ought to. You know, I'm sorry, Lord. I need to make sure I put you first. Now, the last thing. Oh, look at there. We're doing good. Oh, go back to Thessalonians. One more little thing. One more little bitty one. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Patience of hope is not only endurance, but it's being unmovable. Standing firm on what we teach and preach and believe. Standing firm on it. Doesn't matter what they think. It doesn't. We're to stand firm on it. Listen, times are tough. They really are. There's days I've watched the news and I'm like, are you kidding me? And I watch our government and the rest of the world's going, you know, that's about all they can say. And I look at them and I'm like, I'm not a rocket scientist, but I could do better than what they're doing. You know, I mean, good grief. Times are tough. Times are evil. When I look around and see the evil, I'm like, my gosh, what is wrong? Then when I go to the grocery store, about getting where you got to find that's an egg. You know, it's like, do you guys finance? Because I need to buy some eggs. And so, oh, did you see that picture? There's a picture of a chicken. And this guy says, hey, I heard the reason the eggs are scarce and they're expensive because they had the chicken flu. He said, I got a simple cure. And he's got a picture of a hen with a mask on. Hey. It'll work, right? According to Fauci, it'll work. But look, things are expensive. Man, stuff that was costing, I was buying bacon just a few years ago for $5 for 24 ounces. Now it's $11.99. That's on a good day. I thought I got a really good deal and paid $12 for 3 pounds. Because I like bacon. Listen, bacon's good for you. Bacon's biblical. It is. Acts chapter 10, Peter saw it on a sheet. It's biblical. And as long as he saw it on a sheet, bless God, I'm going to eat it. I like bacon. Oh, it'll give you high cholesterol. No, it won't. Worrying will give you high cholesterol. Pastoring will give you high cholesterol. Eating mayo, don't Duke's mayonnaise. They proud of that stuff, but I like it. Man, that's good. My wife's eating it on everything. All your husband's fault. I love that stuff. Listen, if you ain't bought Duke's mayonnaise, buy it. You'll put it up. You'll find an excuse to eat it. I opened it up the other day and just went, And I'm like, I got to get a chip. And put about a tablespoon on there. You know, be modest about it. You know, don't use a big spoon, just a tablespoon. Creamy, twangy, good stuff. But it's expensive. Times are evil, times are tough, times are expensive. The last days, to say the least, are kind of depressing. But listen, we got to remember, our hope ain't in this world.
Amen.
Our hope ain't in Trump. Our hope ain't in Kamala Harris.
No.
That's going to be your next president because they're going to can Biden. And then Hillary will come in with her, and then they'll get rid of Kamala and put Hillary. Well, anyway. We got McCarthy for secretary, praise the Lord. And if he'll keep standing by what he's been like over the years, we might be all right there. But listen, I've already read the book. I know where we're going. But our hope ain't in this world. It ain't in our government. Praise God, it ain't. Somebody say amen. It's not. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus and God our Father, Christ our Savior, the Almighty God, the living God. We serve a living God.
Yes.
They can do what they want. They chop your head off. They probably shoot me in the front yard. But that's okay because I'm going to heaven. That's where my hope. My hope don't lie in this mess right here. Me and Dave will die out in the front yard in a heartbeat. I'm going to get off at least 5 rounds. I'm pretty quick. I can get 5 out there, but then it's going to happen. My dog will probably take out 1. I'm training her to do that. It's good for her. I got to read this one verse and then we're done. Let's all stand. This verse, the first time I really remember hearing it and really taking it in was from an old man in a rest home. And he was dying. He was 104. And he couldn't remember hardly nothing. Wasn't sure who this was or that was, but my wife says, "What's your favorite verse?" Well, Missy, I can't remember where it's at, but it, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Listen, what we do in the Lord, it ain't in vain. It's a labor of love. It's a work of faith. It's a work of love. Listen, that's what we're doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll be up front with you. If you're doing it for any other reason, you're wasting your time. I stand up here and play guitar, and Dave fights with me and tries to get me to practice. And I try to sing, right? Can't seem to get the timing always. But I ain't, I'm not doing it for some kind of praise. I'm doing it because I'm having fun and I love doing it for the Lord. Amen. Because He's given me the ability somewhat to do it.
Yes. Yes.
Dave writes all these songs. And he'll tell you. He said, I'm not writing this for glory. He said, matter of fact, the Lord just gives them to me. Got to. That's who it comes from. We do it all for the Lord. And if we're not, we're wasting our time. We're doing it for the wrong reason. Brother Roger, come pick us a song out. Let's bow.